We're going to continue right now a conversation that I've been having with David James. He's our director of our School of Prophets. But in addition to that, he is the executive director of an organization titled the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. He has a website, and I'm going to get that website address. I've had it slip my mind right now, but we'll talk with David and get that address for you. And our desire is to try to make sure we hold up the standard high for being able to understand what God's Word is communicating to each and every one of us, and the best approach to find out how to interpret what God's Word is saying. David, this is a conversation that we've been having about The Harbinger, a book that was written by Jonathan Kahn. I want to get into that, but first, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. Let's talk to people just a few moments about what that is and how they can go to your website and get in contact with you.
Sure. The website is biblicalintegrity.org, just one word, biblicalintegrity.org. And we are just an alliance of men who are concerned about upholding the truth of the Word of God, the foundational, fundamental truths of the Word of God, and dealing with a lot of the issues that are seriously affecting the evangelical church today, a lot of theological and practical issues. And we're trying to bring a biblical hermeneutic to those and give people tools to be able to discern and give biblical answers for these things that might be troubling them and maybe putting the church in danger.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a major, major movement that is coming together. The Alliance for Biblical Integrity, and again, that website address, biblicalintegrity.org. Be sure to go there and spend some time on that particular website. There are a number of papers on a number of issues available for you there. Well, David, since we last talked, I finished my reading of the book, The Harbinger. You know, when you get back from Israel after a long stay there out of the country, six different time zones away. Jet lag is in effect, so early Friday morning I got finished reading the book. I have some major concerns. I want to talk to you about your concerns. I may enter into the discussion just a bit, but I also noticed that on Amazon.com, where they have reviews of books that are listed there, there are a number of other people that have some similar concerns. Let's talk about your concerns and maybe some that you have read or some other reviews that you have been able to get on the book, and talk to us as we begin this discussion about The Harbinger on some of the concerns from your perspective, a hermeneutic and a proper understanding of God's Word. What are your concerns?
Well, I was on Amazon.com as well, and I think as of yesterday there were 236 comments. Of those, 16 were critical of the book. It was over 190 that gave it 5 stars. So there are a lot of people who are being influenced in what they would think would be a positive way by the book because of their positive reviews. But there are 16, and their concerns were almost identical to mine in that it looks like there is a significant departure from a literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic. By reading current events, particularly since 9/11, back into the Isaiah 9:10 prophecy. In fact, one of the reviewers was a former member of Pastor Kahn's church out there in New Jersey. He had been a member for about 7 years, or he attended there about 7 years, I think. And so he was critical of the book and listed a number of things which were actually identical to my concerns.
Well, when we think about Pastor Kahn and the writing of this book, we have, both of us, have received personal emails from the pastor, and he has asked us to give him an opportunity to be able to respond to some of what we are saying in our review of the book, The Harbinger. We're going to do that. We're going to make contact with him the first of next week. What I'd like to do is set up a discussion between you, David, and also Jonathan Kahn, and let you guys just go at it for a little bit in a civilized manner. We're not trying to attack this brother, and we're not trying to attack anybody, but we are concerned about how the book is making such an impact across America. From a biblical perspective, it is off base to some extent. Now, he said in the email he sent to me, David, that his hermeneutic was the same as ours. Would you disagree with that?
Yes, I think there are some departures because, again, of reading things back into the passage. Some things that almost border on an allegorical interpretation. In fact, there is one passage in the book that I don't have off the top of my head where, when I read, I thought this really is allegorical.
Wait a minute, David. Hold it just a minute. What do you mean by allegorical interpretation? For those listening to this conversation, they may not understand that.
Right, right. It means that there is a hidden meaning that is not found just by reading the text. There's an underlying meaning that is actually one of the real meanings, but you can't get that meaning just by studying the text. You have to get it through impressions, or maybe some people would claim to have a prophetic word from God, that this is how the passage should also be interpreted and what it means.
You know, one of the concerns I had was early on in the book, it talked about this prophet that appeared to the main character of the book, and the main character asked the prophet, well, how can we know you're a prophet? He said, well, because I'm called. But there is a test in God's word to see if a spokesman is really speaking for God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, and it doesn't seem to meet up to the test there in Deuteronomy as far as this prophet throughout the entire book.
Yeah, and there seems to be some connection there. There's some reasons why this format is used, that appears that a prophet is brought into place. And also at the end of the book, the main character, Nuriel Kaplan, is given essentially the mantle of being a prophet himself to carry this message to the nation, which looks like there's a parallel between the main character and Pastor Khan. I'm not saying it's identical, and I realize it's fiction, but one interesting thing is in the interview with Pat Robertson on January 3rd on the 700 Club, that was the day the book came out, Pastor Khan mentioned to Pat Robertson that he also was aware that David Wilkerson had received a word about America, and it involved this exact passage, Isaiah 9:10. Now, when you talk about received a word, usually in the context of a conversation with someone like Pat Robertson, who would be charismatic, that would be a word of knowledge or a prophetic word. In other words, God had confirmed that this was the right way to do it. So there is a prophetic element that seems to be being claimed. And David Wilkerson has a long history going back to 1972 of making many, many strong prophecies, thinking that he is a prophet for God.
Well, and I've read some of those prophecies that he gave during his life, but yet some of those prophecies have not been fulfilled, and he's already gone to heaven, and some of them were totally contradictory to what he had to say in a supposed fulfillment of them. That, again, does not meet that test of Deuteronomy chapter 18, does it?
I guess a very basic biblical definition of a false prophet is someone who claims that God has said something he hasn't said. And so if the claim is that this passage is related directly to America, then that does that. And in fact, if you look at the book, there are any number of passages. For example, just a couple of things. A question in the book by one of the characters is, how could an ancient mystery have anything to do with September 11? The answer is, an ancient mystery behind everything from 9/11 to the economy to the housing boom to the war in Iraq to the collapse of Wall Street, everything in precise detail. And in another one it says, this is the appointed time for America for a mystery to be revealed and a message given to America. And so the connection is made in multiple places that this mystery, there's a mystery that has just been found in Isaiah 9:10 that nobody has seen before. Well, that means that somebody or somehow they have come to this knowledge, which seems to be perhaps connected with the idea that God has given it to them.
I can tell you, one of the concerns I really have is the statement that's made before we get into the narrative of the book. The author makes this statement. He said, I've done this in story form, but everything that happens is real. So you said a moment ago it was fiction. He's indicating that, I'm using a story form to communicate, but everything's real that I'm talking about. That concerns me.
Yes, the problem, I think, is that there's no way for the average reader, unless they would go back in and do a lot of research, no way for the average reader to be able to determine which is fact and which is intended to be fiction. And those lines are very, very blurred. One of them had to do with a dream that the main character had concerning Solomon, and then at the dedication of the temple, him turning around, and when he turns around, he's George Washington. I mistakenly said in one of our interviews that Pastor Kahn had had that dream. I mistakenly spoke on that. That is not what happened. That's a character in the book. But again, it points to the blurred lines, and when he says everything that happened is true or it is true, it's difficult, if almost impossible, to sort that out. And that's another major concern for the average person who would be reading the book.
I read one of the reviews that you have acquired from some of your biblical scholars across the countryside. And in the final statement, he made the statement, if you're looking at this as from a prophetic perspective, it is a very dangerous book. Would you agree with that?
Yes. In that same interview, he made the comment, if this was purely fiction and just simply talking about parallels and seeing how this, you know, certain patterns that are similar and left it at the fiction level, he would have no problem with it. So he said, understood that way, it's not a problem. But if it's real and looked at from a prophetic perspective, it's dangerous, and I would have to agree because it sets a wrong pattern for understanding God's prophetic word.
And our effort here on Prophecy Today, and of course with the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, which David James is the executive director of, is to interpret God's Word the way He wants us to understand what He's communicating through these ancient Jewish prophets and to whom the prophecies are given. David, we're looking forward to the time when you can sit down and we'll have Jonathan Kahn also sit down, and I'll moderate a discussion between the two of you and let him respond, and you then react with what he has to say as well. Thank you so much for being available, and thank you for all the hard work you're doing on this right now.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.